All right, I'm going to ask you to turn to actually Galatians chapter 5. Galatians is toward the back of your Bible. You can look it up in your table of contents if you need to, or ask your neighbor to show you where it is or something like that. But I'm going to be jumping all over the scriptures today as we hear a sermon about baptism that I've called Baptism Matters, because it does matter. So please turn to Galatians 5, verse 6. But I'm actually going to read to you right now from a different passage. This is from Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. And this is the Word of God. It is the sword of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came and said to his 11 disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, it is honestly a bit scary to come up and to speak on Jesus' behalf, to teach the people of God, to teach your disciples to observe all that you have commanded us. But I am comforted, and we are, and ought to be comforted, because in the midst of this work, you are with us always, and you're with us now. So we pray that you would do that deep work. And let the seed that is cast into the soil grow up and bear abundant fruit that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now today I'm just going to share a message with you that has two basic points. And I don't always preach with points. I don't always preach with just, you know, a couple points. Sometimes I just go right through a story. But I remember one time I got some feedback from a young man named Aaron Lee. And he told me, "Pastor Tim, I like when you've got points to your sermon." So I said, "You know what? If I'm going to preach on the day that Aaron got baptized, I've got to have points." So I've got two points today for you, Aaron. The first point is circumcision mattered. You're like, "Huh? What? Why are we talking about that today?" You'll see. Circumcision mattered. It used to matter. Circumcision mattered. The second point is baptism matters. Baptism matters. Circumcision mattered. Baptism matters. Now, if you've turned to Galatians chapter 5, you're in the right place in verse 6 to hear about the first point, circumcision mattered. It once mattered, but it no longer matters. In verse 6, Paul writes to the Galatians, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love." So circumcision no longer matters. But it once mattered. And it once mattered a great deal. If you want, you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 17, where a man named Abraham, that God moved toward in his grace to enter into deep and intimate covenant relationship with him and all of his offspring after him. And God is in regular conversation with Abraham. And here in chapter 17 of Genesis, we learn about an engagement that God had with Abraham, in which he reveals to him this covenant sign of circumcision, in which we see just how much circumcision mattered. Genesis 17, I'm going to read all the way through verse 14. When Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. You notice this emphasis on multiplication of people? Okay? This sign of circumcision has to do with coming offspring. I'll multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. Do you hear the emphasis on the offspring? This promise of a people to come. And God said to Abraham, verse 9, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money, from any foreigner who is not your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his portion shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So, did circumcision matter? Yes, a great deal. Circumcision mattered a great deal. Now, obviously, just to define circumcision, this is maybe going to be a little bit awkward, but it really shouldn't be because God made our bodies. We shouldn't be ashamed. It was performed on the male genitalia of the man. That part of the body that has to do with potency to give offspring. It's all about the promise of an offspring of a nation, and in a moment we'll see what particular offspring God has in mind. It's all about God's promise of an offspring to come. It's such an important sign that God almost put Moses' son to death because he hadn't been circumcised. I mean, it's possible God almost put Moses to death. It's unclear, but in Exodus chapter 4, verses 24 and following, listen to how important circumcision was. As Moses and Zipporah, his wife, and their son Gershom are traveling at a lodging place on the way, Yahweh met him and sought to put him to death. Why is Yahweh going to put him to death? Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses' feet with it and said, Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me. It's causing a little bit of struggle within the marriage. So he, that is God, left him alone. It was then that she said, A bridegroom of blood, because of the circumcision. Circumcision mattered that much to God. But it didn't, and no longer matters anymore. Why is that? Why is it that it doesn't matter anymore? Something so important, so good, no longer matters. Well, go back to Galatians, and let's look at verse 16. Galatians 3:16. This is what it says. Now the promises, which you just heard, were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, plural, referring to many, but referring to what? And to your offspring, who is Christ. Circumcision was the covenant sign at the time that pointed to Christ, who was to come and who would overturn the curse and restore blessing to the world. Circumcision was the sign of entrance into the covenant community, placed upon the males of the community so that when those males would grow up and get married and have children, even if they had only girls, all of them were considered members of the covenant because the head of the household was circumcised. This is what constituted one, in a ritual sense, as a member of God's people. And it always was pointing forward to the offspring who would come. In other words, it was a covenant sign of promise. But what Paul is saying is that that promise has been fulfilled. And so with the fulfillment of the promise, something that once mattered greatly matters no longer. In fact, circumcision and the whole system of covenant signs that were pointing to Jesus, the sacrificial lambs, for example, all of this, of these covenant signs and symbols that were pointing to the Savior, and even were communicating the Savior to the faithful, all of them matter no longer because the Savior has come. The promise has been fulfilled. Christ has come and won blessing for the world. He is the one who now has inherited blessing and is pouring out His blessing upon the nations. Through Christ's death and resurrection, the curse and all that is necessary to overturn the curse has been accomplished. And so now we live in a new chapter. We live in a time of fulfillment, not in a time of promise. And what once mattered greatly matters no longer. Now, this is a principle that I think is important for us, even in a general. Of course, it matters when we're looking at redemptive history and the way that God was working salvation and how His promises have come to fulfillment. But as we take this principle as God's people in a more broad way, it's also very important. I've got old yearbooks at my house. Middle school yearbooks, where my friends were like, you know, write things in them. High school yearbooks. Sometimes I wonder, why did I keep these? Am I holding on to these for good reasons? Bad reasons? Mixed reasons? It's probably the last one. I don't know if I do anything in life that's not mixed, unfortunately. Why do I keep these, you know? I wonder if, you know, well, let me just say it like this. These friendships and that whole web of relationships that I had, let's say, in middle school, those friends that and my standing amongst those friends that mattered so much and was a really good thing at the time, they don't matter anymore. I've moved on. I'm in a new chapter. It had its place. It was good at that time. But that chapter is over. And I've moved into a very different chapter in my life since middle school. But sometimes I wonder if I've let go entirely of that chapter. Sometimes I wonder if things that mattered back then still matter too much to me now. And in the same way that those Jewish Christians had to come to terms with something that for generations had mattered so much, circumcision, and they had to, as Christians, be able to say, it matters no longer, and I can let that chapter be closed. I wonder if we also can learn from that and take a look at our own lives and be able to say, I've moved out of that chapter and the good things in that chapter, and I can appreciate the good things of that chapter for what they were, but they matter no longer, and I can let them go. And I can stop pursuing them in my heart. Maybe you're moving from middle school into high school. It's time to sort of let go. Maybe you're moving from high school to college, or college to a job, or from dating into marriage. As chapters close, we enter into new chapters. We have to let singleness go. Some things come to an end. Time with our friends, our guy buddies, right? Moving into marriage, it's not going to be the same. You know? Our high school relationships as we move into college, it's not going to be the same. What once mattered greatly does not matter, at least in the same way. It had its value, but we're moving on to something else. Now, in baptism, it's different in a way. Because in baptism, we're learning not to let go of things that were good and mattered once in a good way. But in baptism, we're actually saying, there are things that mattered a lot to me before I believed in Jesus that really didn't matter at all. I realize they're idols. They're things that got in the way of true human flourishing. And in baptism, I'm happy to have these things be washed away. And so that brings us to baptism matters. Now, I've already read to you Matthew 28. And Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So why does baptism matter? Well, first of all, because Jesus says it matters. That's why it matters. And it matters crucially to his mission of discipling all nations through his people. Now, why is it so important to Jesus' mission? Let's go back to Galatians 3, 27 and 28. It says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. You hear this? You are all sons of God. You've been baptized into Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, black nor white, Asian nor Hispanic, male nor female, rich nor poor. You're all one in Christ Jesus. What is Paul saying that baptism does and teaches us? What is the value? What is the great matter that makes baptism matter so much? Well, in part, what we see here is that when it marks us out as God's people, it marks us out as those who all equally belong to God's people. Equally. We all equally belong to God's people. That's what Paul's effectively saying. We belong in a way that accounts for all of who we are and accounts for all of us. It accounts for all of who we are, your femaleness, your maleness, all of it. You're Chinese or you're white, all of it. It accounts for all of who you are and every single last one of us, even the baby who has the water on his head. We all equally belong to God's covenant people. You know, when I was growing up, we go back and look at those middle and high school yearbooks. That was a time when hip-hop and rap was a really popular form of music. Really popular culture. There was also, you know, Nine Inch Nails and other forms and subcultures and such. But I got into the hip-hop and rap culture. But I'm going to tell you something, as a white guy, I never felt like I totally belonged. It was like the black guys, they belong more than me. Like, I'm there, but I'm not really there, you know? It's not like that in the church. It's not like that in the church. But sometimes I wonder, I don't know if it's the case, although I have heard a Korean brother say this, that he grew up as a Christian feeling like white people were the ones who really belong to the church, and Asians are like, they belong but not as much as white people, which is obviously silly. Jesus was Jewish. He wasn't from Italy. White people don't belong any more than Asian people or black people or Jewish Christians or anybody else. We all belong equally. That's what baptism is teaching us. Because we're all united to the Son. We're all parts of His body. We are all one. Baptism matters so much as that symbol and, and sign of covenant membership. But it also matters in an even greater way, I guess, if you could say it like that. Maybe that's not the right way to say it, but it matters in an additional way. Let's put it like that. An additional way. Because it not only teaches us that we belong equally, but it communicates. It communicates something to the faithful, to those who receive it by trust. It doesn't communicate something. It communicates someone. Listen to what Paul writes here in Colossians chapter 2. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily in Christ. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. As Paul sets the sign that once mattered but no longer matters right next to the sign that continues to matter, circumcision and baptism, all of it begins to fade away as he shows you who is being given to us as we receive these signs and symbols by faith. Christ is communicated to us according to God's Spirit, according to his election, and when we put our faith in him, Christ is communicated to those who receive this sign. And that is the greatest and most important matter of baptism. Jesus Christ. Baptism matters because Jesus Christ mattered way more. And through this wonderful sacrament he has given to us by faith. He has given to us by faith. We commune with the living God as we engage and even remember our baptism. As we come to the Word of God, we receive Jesus Christ. As we come to the Lord's Supper and communion, we receive Christ as we come to it by faith. And we abide in him and he comes to commune with us in more fullness. Look at Ephesians 3:14 through 21. There's this interesting dynamic of greater fullness and Christ dwelling in us in a more full way. And we're strengthened. We're strengthened for that mission. To go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Christ has commanded us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of baptism. Let us never think that it matters less than you say that it matters. Let us embrace it. Let us embrace all that is signified in it. Let us embrace that wonderful person who is communicated to us through it, our Lord and friend and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.